Podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What's going on, Wizards fans? It's your host, The Real Ed Oliver. I just want to thank you guys for making Locked On Wizards your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get podcasts. And this episode is also brought to you by Sakara. We'd like to thank today's sponsor of Locked On Wizards, Sakara Nutrition. Sakara is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine. On a mission to nourish, go to sakara.com/lockedon20 or enter code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off at checkout. So today is the day after the lottery. We have special guest Chase Hughes from NBC Sports Washington. How are you feeling today?
Doing great, man. Thanks for having me back on again. Sorry to all Wizards fans who were hoping to move up into that top four.
Right. Yeah. Did you get your hopes up, or how disappointed were you that they stayed at pick 10?
I was hopeful. I had a hunch. I had a feeling, a premonition that they were going to move up, and it proved to not be true. I guess I should have fallen back on, they've obviously got a tough history in the lottery, but it'd been a while since they moved up. I mean, I guess 2013 when they got Otto Porter was the last time. So I felt like they were due for some good luck. And getting in the top four would have been tremendous. But I think they're in a fine spot at 10. There's going to be talent on the board. Probably we'll look back 20 years from now and see there was at least a future all-star, if not several. It's just up to them to pick the right guy and develop him properly.
Definitely. What are the biggest needs you think the Wizards need to look at going into the draft?
I think their biggest needs are point guard, if we're talking about positions. Wing defense, they could still use more of. Defense in general, I think they need someone or more than one person who can stop the ball on the perimeter. And then, of course, three-point shooting. I mean, they might have been the worst three-point shooting team in the league last year. Maybe they'll get better over time with Kristaps Porzingis and Corey Kispert and Rui Hachimura now being a good three-point shooter. But I think they need to address all those things in a major way this offseason. And what they can get done in the draft, we'll see. I think the draft generally is more about best player available, and especially at 10. You wouldn't want to pick a guy who's just a rotation player who can defend or shoot threes or is a point guard over a guy at another position who 4 or 5 years from now looks like a star.
Right. All right. So you had a list of guys that you tweeted for the Wizards that they may have some interest in, some names to watch, Benedict Mathurin, Jalen Duren. Tommy Shepard also said that he's looking at 15 guys at pick 10. So what are some names that you have heard have you heard any names that the Wizards may have interest in or looking to bring in a workout in at pick 10?
Well, there is a wide range of possibilities here. I know they're 10th overall, and you maybe think you could narrow it down to, five or six guys, but it's really tough to do that. And I would just point out how 2 years ago, no one thought that Denny Avdija was going to be on the board at 9 when the Wizards were selecting Tyrese Haliburton as well. Of course, he fell past them. So there's a lot of different things that could happen. As far as who they like, I have heard some people in the front office talk positively about Dyson Daniels. I think they see him as a very skilled player. And G League Ignite played and practiced at their practice facility, so they were able to take a look at him. I don't think they were allowed in the practice, but they saw them play the Capital City Go-Go. So I think Dyson Daniels stands out right away as a guy who might be a good fit there. Because he is a point guard, he's big, he's known for his defense, and he's a pass-first point guard. I mean, all the things that they've said on the record describing their ideal point guard, Dyson Daniels kind of sounds like that guy. He's just so young and inexperienced, he's not going to be starting day one, at least I don't think so. But maybe over time, that would prove to be a smart pick. As far as needs go, and me having heard who they like, I would mention him. But, they got to go best player available, and maybe Ty Washington of Kentucky makes sense because he's also a point guard. But I think they need to take a long look at Mathurin, like you said, and Tari Eason. Those guys play on the wing. And Eason is, maybe a power forward. I think probably more so a three. Very versatile defender, the type of tough physical defender that they need more of. I know they've drafted a lot of forwards, but they haven't drafted anyone with his specific playing style. And he was also a pretty good scorer and shooter in college. And Mathurin, if he's there, I think that, I mean, that stands out to me as a guy with a super high ceiling who not only is a very explosive athlete, but has a smooth jumper and the ability to create off the dribble and create his own shot from three-point range. So I think there's going to be a lot of options on the board. I wonder if they're going to stick to the idea of drafting a point guard and go with Daniels or Washington.
Right. So they have strong interest in Daniels. Other names that you tweeted yesterday were Johnny Davis out of Wisconsin. You already said Tari Eason, Ty Washington. Benedict Mathurin, of course. A wild card to me was Jalen Duren. What are the chances you see them picking a big man since they already have Kristaps? They signed Gafford to the 3-year, $40 million extension. Thomas Bryant most likely is not coming back. But what are the odds that you think they bring in a big man like a Jalen Duren?
Well, as far as their positional depth chart, that's one area where it'd be tough for a guy picked in that range, I think, to find minutes right away. That would definitely be a best player available pick if they pick Jalen Duren of Memphis. Mark Williams of Duke's another guy who I would point out. He just had a monster combine in terms of his measurements. He was 7'2", I believe, in shoes with like a 7'7 wingspan, and he had a really big NCAA tournament, big-time shot blocker. Not much of a perimeter game at all, but, you know, the type of guy that if you're trying to fix your defense, I think he was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. You got to consider him, right? So I don't think they're going to go with a big man just because the depth chart is kind of clogged at that position, and you just signed Daniel Gafford to a long-term deal. But I personally would say that everything should be on the table. You know, I would point out some examples that we've seen in the forefront recently. Look at the Warriors right now, Jordan Poole. When they drafted him, I think it was in 2019. I might be wrong about that. But they had Steph Curry and they had Klay Thompson. They still took a guard. And they're finding a way to make it work right now. Anfernee Simons of the Blazers. I believe he was 2018 because he just finished his fourth year. He was 18 at the time. They had Damian Lillard. They had CJ McCollum. And they took a guard. And obviously that was later in the first round. It wasn't the 10th pick. But they took the best player available, and now 4 years later, they look really smart for doing so. So I think the Wizards need to keep those examples in mind. And even if there's a point guard who could help a position of need, don't take that player over someone who's going to be much better 3 or 4 years from now.
Right. Yeah, you brought up the guard spot. Jaden Hardy is a guy from the G League that I really like. I know he's projected to go later, but I know before the draft process started, the big boys, he was ranked first. So I like him a lot. I think he'd come in and be a microwave scorer off the bench for the Wizards. And then Oche Agbaji is a guy who's older, but I think he can really help and be a 3-and-D guy. Dyson Daniels, I'm just kind of scared with him because the shooting is not his forte. And it's kind of like, you know, we've drafted some guys that are playmakers, but, you know, Troy Brown Jr., I like Denny. But some guys that just weren't able to stretch the floor and space the floor, and their fit next to Bradley Beal was kind of, you know, awkward, if you will. So it's different. Ty Washington, the Kentucky pedigree. I mean, Shai Gilgeous, Emmanuel Quickley, John Wall, and Tyler Hero. There's just so many Kentucky guards. So, you know, I don't want to scout the jersey, but the player, he's a good player, but sometimes 10 could be somewhat of a reach. But they need a point guard really badly, and guys from Kentucky, they just usually pan out.
Especially at that position. I'm glad you brought that up. Like, I don't want to sound like it kind of sounds simple. It's almost like the movie Moneyball, where it's like the old school guys who, you know, they had this like antiquated approach to the draft. But just look at the jersey and look at the position. Guards from Kentucky, it seems like every year one of them is overlooked in the draft and they end up exceeding expectations. Like Tyrese Maxey.
Right.
Devin Booker. I mean, Jamal Murray, even, I think he was a 7th pick. That's pretty high, right. But if that draft was redone, he'd be picked higher than that. So it's like year after year, these guys at that position from that school end up being really good players. And, you know, Malik Monk is okay. So there's in the Harrison brothers didn't really turn out, but I've thought a lot about it. I've got a few theories. I don't know what makes the most sense, but you know, there's obviously an overflow of talent at Kentucky. So if any team's going to have some guys that go under the radar or get picked later and are good, maybe it's that school. And then, you know, maybe that position that those guys get hidden in the system that Calipari has and they're just better suited for the NBA, Or maybe the flip side of that is Calipari is really good at preparing these guys for the pros. I don't know what it is, but I would take a longer look at Ty Washington for that simple reason, because there's examples all over the league. I mean, it's like five out of the last 7 years or something that a guy has come out of that school at that position who's like a star or a borderline star.
Right, yeah. Carl Towns didn't shoot threes at Kentucky at all. Then he starts knocking down. He's the best, one of the best big man shooter, three-point shooters in the history of the game. Anthony
one
Davis.
I'm glad you said one of the best. He would tell you he's the best, but I don't think we can give him that yet.
Right. And Anthony Davis, you know, he was more of a defensive-minded big in college, and he's more of an offensive-minded big in the NBA. So there's just that pedigree with Kentucky. But I do want to get to – I want to ask you about Bradley Beal, of course, and how much he influences the draft. But before we do get to that, we have a quick word from Truebill. This episode is brought to you by Truebill. Do you know why free trials renew without your consent? It's a business scam out to get you. Don't let greedy corporations pocket your money. Download Truebill to take control of your subscriptions. Truebill is the new app that helps you identify and stop paying for subscriptions you don't need, want, or simply forgot about. On average, people save up to $720 a year with Truebill. Because companies make subscriptions hard to cancel, Truebill makes it incredibly simple. Just link your accounts and Truebill will cancel your unwanted subscriptions in one tap. And your Truebill concierge is there when you need them to cancel unwanted subscriptions so you don't have to. Don't fall for subscription scams. Start canceling today at Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. Go right now, Truebill.com/LockedOnNBA. It could save you thousands a year. This episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. I just got the birthday cake puffs flavor in the mail, and they taste really, really good. They taste just like a candy bar. I put them in the fridge. It tastes just like a candy bar, but they're way, way more healthy. Make every day your birthday with Built's birthday cake puffs. Built has taken the delicious experience of biting into a fresh slice of birthday cake, enrobed it in 100% white chocolate, and added sprinkles. With 150 calories, 16 grams of protein, and only 9 grams of sugar, this limited time flavor is an amazing option if you are looking for a healthy way to get flavor and variety in your day. All Built Puffs are covered in 100% real chocolate. That means that with Built, you can eat healthy and actually enjoy doing it. And they're made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently and provides tons of health benefits. Go to Built.com to get birthday cake puffs now. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCK15, and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at Built.com. So I want to thank you guys for making Locked On Wizards your first listen every day. Make sure to go check out Locked On NBA Big Board. Host Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies and author of the NBA Big Board newsletter is joined by Richard Stamen, Sam Ferris, and Leif Thulin, giving fans an in-depth look into the NBA draft, mock draft player rankings, and of course, Big Boards. It's free and available wherever you get podcasts. All right. So, of course, there is the big question with Bradley Beal. I've seen, you know, rumors. Jay Williams on the Get Up ESPN show that Patrick Beverly has been on recently talking a lot. He said that Bradley Beal could possibly want to join the Sixers. I don't know how true that is. Andrew Bogut has said the same thing as well. He's long heard that he's wanted to team up with Joel Embiid. But I do want to get your take on Bradley Beal, his influence on the draft. How much influence do you think Bradley Beal has on decision-making and personnel moves, you know? We saw him on NBC Sports Washington with you and the other guys on there talking about, you know, he wants dogs, taller guards, guys that can shoot threes. How much influence does he have on the draft? Is he going to possibly be in the draft, as they call it, war room influencing decisions for the roster?
I don't know how much of an influence he'll have on the draft. I think once free agency and trades come around, as long as things go as we expect them to, where he's indicated, the Wizards have indicated that he's probably going to re-sign here, then he'll have some direction on what they do. I mean, he did last offseason, and after the, you know, the Spencer Dinwiddie deal blew up, and you know, they traded away him and Montrezl Harrell, Bradley Beal admitted, he's like, look, I'm not going to slam those guys. I was part of the decision-making process to bring in them here. He vouched for them. As far as the draft goes, I don't know. I mean, maybe they'll ask him his opinion on certain prospects, but as far as I understand, I don't think that's something that he's really meddled with in the past. The Sixers rumor is really interesting. I remember when James Harden got traded to Philly, I tweeted that this probably crosses Philly off the list for a destination for Bradley Beal, but the James Harden trade so far hasn't worked out too well. It at least did not look very good toward the end of the playoffs. James Harden doesn't look like he's in his prime anymore. And he's facing the prospect of signing a Supermax deal. And if you're going to sign either of those guys for that money, James Harden's obviously a far more accomplished player than Bradley Beal, but Bradley Beal's younger. And even though he's coming off a bad season, if you're going to overpay one of those guys, you might rather do it with Bradley Beal. So it's an interesting landing spot. I know last summer when Bradley Beal was kind of mulling his future entering the draft, Philly was a team that did intrigue him. You know, obviously nothing ended up happening there, and he sent signals that suggest that he wants to re-sign with this team. So until something happens that shows us otherwise, I think he re-signs with the Wizards. But if he were to enter free agency, I think Philly's got to be a team that you consider a threat. I think Boston probably as well, given the Jason Tatum dynamic. I think Miami, you can never count out Pat Riley when it comes to a free agent pitch. So I that kind of goes back to what I've been saying here, is that like the Wizards, I think it would benefit them to get some sort of assurance before free agency opens, because if Bradley Beal goes and takes visits, then all of a sudden the situation that's been in your control for so long is out of your control. And he could talk to Philly and, you know, organize a sign and trade. I think all those situations would require a sign and trade. So I think the Wizards need to get him to sign that deal before he takes the meetings, because we've heard players in the past, they want to go through that process, right? They want to hear the free agent pitch. They want to, you know, be wined and dined. I don't know yet if Bradley Beal wants to go down that route, but if he does, then certainly you got to look at Philly, just because he's got a pretty strong relationship with Joel Embiid. And obviously we've heard that Joel Embiid wanted Bradley Beal, and I think those guys would complement each other really well. I think if you're a Wizards fan, and if you're the Wizards, you have to hope that James Harden, you know, opts into that final year of his contract and kind of forces the issue with Philly. They made their bed, you know, hopefully they have to lay in it.
Right. Yeah, he has some interesting options. So yeah, if he does, like you said, get wined and dined or wow, there's a strong possibility that he leaves the Wizards, but hopefully they would, you know, be able to maneuver a sign and trade so they could get something in return, maybe like a Tyrese Maxey or something like that. The Thybulle and a first round pick and you know, some Tobias Harris. But how likely do you see the Wizards trading their pick? You know, the Sacramento Kings got pick 4. They did have rumored interest. Well, not rumored interest. They had real interest in Kyle Kuzma. He thought he was going to Sacramento before the trade with the Lakers and the Wizards transpired. How likely do you see the Wizards trading up? And do you think Jaden Ivey is somebody that would interest them to trade up?
Well, first of all, one more quick point on Bradley Beal. I think it'd be really interesting. You know, does he want those problems that Ben Simmons had and then James Harden had, and now Doc Rivers had, where you're in that limelight and you're in Philly, and Joel Embiid's not going to get the blame, right? He was tremendous this year. He's a great player. If you're there and you lose in the second round, who do you think all the fans are going to be, you know, talking trash to and slandering, as Pat Beverly said? You know, it's a double-edged sword. If you go there and you win, then, you know, obviously you get a lot of praise, but not as much praise as Joel Embiid. But what I'm trying to paint here is there's some drawbacks that come with that type of situation. Bradley Beal's got a pretty good situation here, you know, where he's the face of the franchise. So he probably would have to weigh that. But I think if him and B teamed up, obviously they'd be a really good combo. As far as trading the pick, I see a lot of Wizards fans talking about trading up, maybe getting Jaden Ivey. I don't think that's super realistic. I think in order to trade up high enough to get a player like that, you need to attach multiple first round picks to the one you already got, which is 10th overall, you know, to get up to like 4th or something. You know, the two, three years ago when the Hawks traded up to get DeAndre Hunter, they had the 8th pick. They also had the 17th pick. And then they also traded a protected 2020 first round pick. So it was basically 3 first round picks to go from 8 to 4. And I think that's the type of leap you'd have to make at a minimum to get one of those top guys. So I don't think it's realistic to move up. As far as trading the pick at all, I mean, I think it's got to be on the table if you're looking for a veteran point guard. And when it comes to Kyle Kuzma, I think the Wizards need to consider, you know, selling high on him. I think he's a really good player. I think he's on the way up. I think what I saw this year, particularly like the second half of his season, told me that this guy could be an all-star. Like, I think it could be a situation where the Wizards traded, just like they traded for Caron Butler and Antoine Jameson. Those guys became all-stars here. I think the same thing could happen with Kyle Kuzma. But He's only got 1 year left on his deal, and he is super valuable right now when he's making $13 million. If he keeps it up, that price might double, or he might, you know, at least approach $20 million. And you've got Rui Hachimura with 1 year left on his contract. They play the same position. So I think just kind of deductive reasoning here, the Wizards need to consider selling high, or at least, you know, maybe trading one of those guys before you just let them go in free agency, or you have to pay them a lot of money. So especially if you're giving Bradley Beal the Supermax contract, right? So I think all those things have to be considered. And if you were to package the 10th pick with a Kyle Kuzma, maybe with one of your young players, I personally think you could get something pretty substantial back in return. And I think Kyle Kuzma is the type of player that would interest a lot of teams in a lot of different states. Like if you're a rebuilding team, or if you're a contender, or if you're a middle of the road team, Kyle Kuzma is a good player and he's a proven winner. So I think they have to consider that. But my guess is that Kuzma will be around next year and they'll keep the pick. And if they make a trade, it will be with other assets.
Yeah, Devin, I thought Kyle Kuzma played his best basketball last year. He could have been in the running for a most improved, or at least top five or top 10 vote getter for sure. He was super clutch for the Wizards, the Detroit Pistons game winner, the Cleveland game winner, the dunk on Joel Embiid, the 25-rebound game. I mean, he really impressed. He definitely surprised me out of all the guys. Out of the three Lakers, I did not think he would be the one that would be that played the best out of the three. I thought he played, you know, his best ball for sure. So I do want to ask you about the point guard position and how they can attack it. But before we do get to that, this episode is brought to you by Sakara. Got to try Sakara, man. It's really, really good. Now is the time to seek wellness, joy, and abundance in all areas of your life, starting with what you eat. With Sakara, you get nutrient-dense meals, snacks, and supplements that nourish your body without ever sacrificing taste or quality. True radiance starts on your plate. Made with high-quality organic ingredients, Sakara's plant-rich transformational nutritional programs are expertly designed to deliver real results, from reduced bloat and ease digesting a clear skin and boosted energy and moods. Looking and feeling your best shouldn't mean deprivation. Instead, choose joy and abundance. Sakara's organic, plant-rich transformational nutrition programs are designed to help you cultivate body intelligence so you can nourish your body and experience the results you want. Sakara is a wellness company anchored in food as medicine on a mission to nourish your body through the power of plants. Right now, Sakara is offering our listeners 20% off their first order when they go to sakara.com/lockedon20 or enter code LOCKEDON20 at checkout. That's in all caps. That's Sakara, SAKARA.com/LOCKEDON20 to get 20% off your order. Sakara.com/LOCKEDONNBA. All right. So how do you see the Wizards attacking the point guard position? Do you see them packaging that pick for a point guard? And what are some names to watch at the point guard position for the Wizards? That's a veteran, or some names that you have heard, any smoke to the Wizards have interest in trading for?
I think it's going to be a trade. That's my guess. I mean, they could go the route of picking a Daniels or a Washington and then just getting someone on the mid-level exception to kind of be a bridge starter. Maybe that's the most realistic scenario. But if they want to, you know, make a splash at that position, I think it's going to have to be via trade. I don't think there's going to be any perfect free agent options. I mean, you go out there and maybe you could do a sign and trade like you did last year with Spencer Dinwiddie. Obviously, we know how that worked out. But the free agent options, there's not really a perfect fit. Like, either guys are going to be too expensive. Like, you know, Tyus Jones and Jalen Brunson, I think, have kind of maybe priced themselves out of the Wizards range. And, you know, do you go with like a Dennis Schroeder who, you know, had a good year with OKC a few years ago, but hasn't worked out at a few different spots since? I don't think that the perfect options there for them in free agency. And Tommy Shepard already said he doesn't think the starting point guard is going to come via the draft. So I think it's going to be a trade. Now, the names that come to mind first are Malcolm Brogdon and Mike Conley Jr., because they can shoot and they can defend, but they're also on pretty sizable contracts. And Mike Conley's up there in age, and Malcolm Brogdon has the injury history that, you know, if you put on in the same lineup with Kristaps Porzingis, who has an injury history, and Bradley Beal, who has some durability issues, a lot of it hasn't been like injuries that I think are long-term concerns, but he hasn't played a large percentage of their games the last few years. Then you're relying on a lot of guys with a lot of ifs, right? But my guess is that they end up trading for someone like that. Maybe it's not a Brogdon or a Conley Jr., someone maybe just below that. I saw you know, some Wizards fans talking about Terry Rozier. Maybe he would make sense if, you know, if the Hornets want to let him go. But also, I think they gave him a contract extension not that long ago. I need to look into it. But my guess is they try to go after a Brogdon or a Conley Jr. But maybe the most realistic option is they draft a guy and bring in a bridge starter. So it's kind of, I think those are the options they're going to consider. Like I said, one's most realistic, but if I had to guess, I think they'll trade.
Definitely. I feel like it's almost with the Commanders looking for a quarterback. They're kind of in that same boat right now where they're really looking for a point guard / quarterback who can lead this team and basically lead the troops. They're looking for a pass first point guard. So that's what they're really looking for. It's going to be tough to find it. Kind of like the Commanders, they had to settle for a guy. They swung for the fences. Maybe the Wizards might try to swing for somebody big. I don't know if what's going to happen with Chris Paul and Phoenix. You know, who knows with that. But they're going to have to, you know, do you think John Wall is somewhat of an option for the Wizards?
I think he's an option. I've said that I think he'll play here again, but I don't think the timing's right. Like, they need a point guard. And obviously we saw the picture with Kyle Kuzma, so I'm sure it came up. You know, I don't think the Wizards are opposed to bringing him back at some point, but it was a pretty bitter breakup. And also, and it wasn't that long ago. And also, you know, John Wall is going to have to accept a buyout. He's shown no signals that he is willing to give up any money. And I guess, you know, maybe he could give up just a little bit and the Wizards could try to offset that with the contract they sign him to. But I think there's too much baggage there for them to circle back and bring back John Wall at this moment in time.
As far as drafting goes, you know, the Wizards, they rarely have a first-round pick get a second contract. I think John Wall, Bradley Beal, Otto Porter have been the only guys to get a second contract probably in the past, you know, 10, 15, 20 years. What do you think is the Wizards' identity with drafting? Is, you know, you look at the Miami Heat, they have an identity where, you know, they can find second-round guys or undrafted guys, and they play way more than their expectations. Or you look at the Grizzlies where they draft you know, upperclassmen, Desmond Bane, Dylan Brooks. Jaren Jackson's a freshman, but it looks like they're looking for athletic guys that can shoot. And the Wizards is kind of like all over the place. So where do you see the Wizards' identity as a team and with drafting?
Well, I think they've done a solid job, particularly the last 3 years, in bringing in guys with high floors that are probably going to have long careers in the NBA as members of rotations, you know, like Corey Kispert, Rui Hachimura and Denny Avdija have all shown me something to make me think that they're going to be around for a while. So I think what the Wizards have done is they've picked guys who are coachable and are smart on the court. And, you know, maybe their basketball IQ is pretty solid. And in the case of all three guys, they bring different skills to the table, especially on the offensive end. But they haven't really, with any of those three guys, I think, taking a risk on a guy who's very athletic. I think they've kind of opted for kind of players that could end up being really smart players and versatile players. Maybe not the defenders that they need. But I think maybe if they wanted to change their identity drafting, then maybe you take a big swing on someone that is a bit of a project and has the athleticism to be a star, but maybe requires a little bit more coaching and developing and a little more patience than those guys. So I wonder if they'll go in that direction this year. I mean, I don't know if Benedict Mathurin is like a project, because I think he's more polished than a lot of guys with his athleticism, but maybe, you know, Jeremy Sochan of Baylor, you know, someone where you take them and, you know, the expectations need to be pretty low, but maybe 4 or 5 years from now, they're a star on at least one end of the floor. So I think their identity has been kind of safe place to a certain degree. And I wonder if they're in a position now to take a bit of a risk.
Right. And this follows up with the young guys. Who do you see out of the young three, Denny, Corey Kispert, and Rui? Who do you think makes the biggest leap next season? Then who out of the three is an untouchable in a trade, or any of those guys untouchable, or which one out of the three most likely do you see being traded? I know it's a loaded question.
Well, first of all, I think the biggest leap, I expect it to be from Denny Avdija. I know Rui Hachimura made a big leap as a shooter this past year, but you know, maybe it would happen on the defensive end for him, but Denny Avdia remains a pretty raw player. So there's a lot of room for growth in a lot of different areas. And I was impressed with how much he improved defensively this past year, considering the offseason that he had previous to that. You know, he was coming off the broken ankle and it disrupted his offseason. He had all sorts of setbacks and then he came back and he was a better player. So I think if you give him a full offseason where he's healthy, then he'll improve even more. And, you know, his first year, his first offseason coming out of the draft wasn't normal either. It was a sprint, you know, going into the season where he didn't have a summer league, basically barely had a training camp in the preseason, and he ended up being a pretty decent rookie. So I think it'll be Denny Avdia. And I would, and you know, I would also say that he's probably the most untouchable of the three guys because I think he's got the highest athletic upside of the three. And he's still got 2 years left on his rookie deal, right? I would definitely not say that Rui Hachimura is untouchable just because he's got 1 year left on his contract. Like, the Wizards are kind of being forced to make a decision on him one way or the other. Are you going to keep the guy? Are you going to pay him? Or, you know, do you sell high? Kind of like I was talking with Kyle Kuzma. And Kispert, even though he's got 3 years left on his contract, you know, he wasn't picked as high as them. And he's a good player, and I think they need what he provides long-term. And I think, you know, he's a very valuable player, I think, long-term because he's on that rookie contract. But I don't know. I could see him being like a sweetener in a deal if they were going to get something pretty big. So my guess would be that Denny Avdia is the most untouchable of those three.
Right. Yeah, it's interesting. They all bring something different to the table. I think Rui's the best scorer. Denny's the best defender. And then Corey Kispert's the best shooter. So they're all good players, but they haven't shown to be franchise guys just yet. And it's still very early. But last question, what's your bold prediction for the starting point guard for the Washington Wizards in 2023?
My bold prediction for the Wizards at starting point guard, I'll go with Malcolm Brogdon. I just think, you know, they find a way to make that happen because he'd be such a perfect fit. He's also, you know, from Virginia. I don't think they'll factor that in, but he's sort of a local guy. And just the fact that he's such a good defender and such a good shooter, at least several years ago, he was a 50-40-90 guy. And especially, you know, partly because of the injury history, maybe they could get him at a little bit of a lower price. I think he'd be the perfect point guard next to Bradley Beal because of his size and because of the skills that he brings to the table. So I think if they really want to swing big and make a splash in that area, I think that's who they could bring in. And, you know, maybe Indiana would be interested in the 10th pick because they're going potentially going to be forced into a little bit of a rebuild. And they'd have, I think it's the 6th pick, right? And the 10th pick, two top 10 picks to start with Miles Turner and Chris Duarte and Tyrese Halliburton. They could be in a pretty good spot. So I think Brogdon's expendable, and I think he fits what the Wizards need. So that's my bold prediction.
Definitely. And which players do you think would be included in a trade?
It's a two-part prediction.
Right.
You know, maybe that's something – well, obviously you'd have to match the money. Right. Maybe that's something where you send maybe you have to send a young player like a Denny Avdia or a Rui Hachimura. And then maybe you got to use like, you know, KCP's contract to match. And, you know, his contract isn't fully guaranteed next year. So, you know, maybe he wouldn't stick around. The Pacers could just kind of create some cap space. So I'd have to kind of go to the ESPN trade machine to give you a detailed answer on that. But I'll say as the bold prediction that Brogdon would be the guy.
Right. But yeah, you guys heard it here first from Chase. You know, that's the bold prediction here. So thank you guys for making Locked On Wizards your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, Locked On NBA, from the first jump ball of the play-in tournament to last possession of the finals. Locked On experts take you deep inside the playoffs with insight and analysis affecting all 30 teams. Chase, is there anything you want to plug or any finals predictions?
Finals prediction, I'll go Warriors over Celtics. And okay, as far as plug, just go to NBC Sports Washington. We'll be following the draft every step of the way.
Yep. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you guys follow Chase on Twitter. It's Chase Hughes, NBCS on Twitter, and he is on NBC Sports Washington. Thank you guys for listening. Make sure you guys subscribe on YouTube and hit the notification bell. Hail to the Wizards. Peace.